Welcome to the Washington Our Home Podcast. I'm your fearless field guide, Eric Ebel. We've talked about the state's challenging county names. We've reviewed dozens of tricky city names around Washington. Now, in part three of our Say Wah pronunciation series, we'll be tackling those tribal names found so often around our great state. From east to west and north to south, the influence of our region's indigenous peoples is embedded in everything. There are 574 federally recognized Indian tribes in the United States, and 29 of them have ancestral lands here within the Washington state borders. There are also a handful of non-federally recognized tribes, some still fighting to gain recognition and independence. I once quipped that everything in the great state of Washington was named after one of six things: either a settler of the area, like PL or Anacortes, one of the earliest explorers, like Vancouver or Grays Harbor, a local land feature, like Gold Bar or Castle Rock, a politician, like Garfield or Lincoln, something related to the railroads, like Sprague or Pullman, renamed after another part of the world, like Ephrata or Odessa, or a native word or phrase. That's what we'll be diving into on this episode of Washington, Our Home. And we'll be getting a little bit of help from the native speakers themselves. As I wrote in my book, Exploring Maritime Washington, which is available now from the History Press and fine book retailers everywhere, there's more than one way to pronounce most of the indigenous names and places found around the state. There's the tribal way that a tribal member pronounces a word in his or her own language. Then there's the way that a member of a different tribe pronounces the same word. Then there's what's known as the anglicization of the tribal word, which is often largely based on how the word or words sound to the ears of a non-native speaker. Then there's the way Washingtonians pronounce the name of a place, which may or may not be completely different from the previous three ways. So to make things as clear as mud, these indigenous languages also contain a number of unfamiliar characters to English speakers. Things like superscript X's and W's, the number 7 in the middle of a word, and symbols that resemble question marks or a capital A with a few extra lines at the top. It can get confusing, but I'm going to do my best to include all of them that I am relatively certain I won't butcher, and I'll turn to the experts wherever possible. Now, a quick history lesson. According to resources from the Burke Museum of Natural History, although extinguishing indigenous languages was not the explicit stated goal of the U.S. government's policy toward Native Americans in the previous two centuries, it was a predictable consequence of an early American ideology that sought to civilize the indigenous peoples of the United States. One of the tools used for enforcing this civilization was the Indian Boarding School, in operation from around the 1860s to about the 1970s. Students at these schools were often separated from their families at an early age, and any attempts by the children to speak their native languages tended to be harshly punished. The Salishan languages, also known as Salish, are a family of languages of the Pacific Northwest in North America, namely the Canadian province of British Columbia and the American states of Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and Montana. The Salishan language family consists of 23 languages. Now, the family is typically organized into two main divisions with variation: Coast Salish and Interior Salish. Within these two divisions are a variety of Salishan dialects and subdialects. Let's take a look inside the two divisions, starting with the Interior Salish-speaking tribes, which are subdivided into the Northern dialects and the Southern dialects. All of the tribes speaking Northern dialects are located in today's Canadian province of British Columbia, so we're not going to focus on those today. But the tribes that speak the southern dialects of Interior Salish include those found here in Washington State. In alphabetical order, that begins with the Columbia Moses dialect, an all but extinct language once spoken by the Chelan, Entiat, Sinkiyus, and Wenatchee people. Then there's the Colville Okanagan dialect, which is still spoken by tribes such as the Colville, Inchileum, Methow, Sanpoil, Nispelum, and Southern Okanagan. Finally, we have the Montana Salish dialect, sub-dialects of which are spoken by today's Flathead, Kalispell, Chewila, Ponderay, and Spokane peoples. Moving to the Coast Salish-speaking tribes, there are three dialects: Central Coast Salish, Tsamosin, or Olympic Salish, and Tillamook. The first two of those are primarily found in Washington. Subdialects of Central Coast Salish include arguably the most well-known language spoken by the indigenous population in the Pacific Northwest, Lushootseed, both a northern and a southern version, spoken by the Skagit, Sauk Seattle, Snohomish, Duwamish, Suquamish, Puyallup, Squaxin Island, and Nisqually people. Then there's Nooksack, a subdialect of Coast Salish spoken by the Nooksack people, Suquamish, a subdialect spoken by the Suquamish people, the Straits Salish subdialect spoken by the Clallam tribes, and the Northern Straits subdialect traditionally spoken by the Lummi, Samish, and Semiamu tribes. Lastly, the Tawana subdialect of Coast Salish is spoken by the Quilcean and Skokomish people. In the Tsamosin, or Olympic Salish dialect, you'll find the inland subdialect spoken by the Cowlitz, Upper Chehalis, and Tsatsa people, as well as the maritime subdialect spoken by the Lower Chehalis, Hump Tulips, Shoalwater, Wainuchi, Quinault, Quileute, Ho, and Queets people. The Makah tribe on Washington's extreme northwest coast traditionally spoke their own language, which was part of the Waukeshan language family, found largely in Canada. The Salishan languages, principally Chehalis, contributed greatly to the vocabulary of an early trade language known as Chinook jargon, or Chinook Wawa. It spread during the 19th century from the lower Columbia, first to other areas in modern Oregon and Washington, then to British Columbia and even parts of Alaska, Northern California, Idaho, and Montana. Chinook jargon, however, should not be confused with the last indigenous language we'll cover here, namely Chinook. The Chinookan people are a non-federally recognized tribe that is still fighting for independence. Their traditional language, Chinookan, consists of three dialects with multiple varieties: Lower Chinookan, also known as Chinook proper or Coastal Chinook, Kathlamet, and Upper Chinook, also known as Kikht or Columbia Chinook. Many of the languages, dialects, and subdialects are considered critically endangered, some extremely so, with only three or four speakers left. Those languages considered extinct are often referred to as dormant languages in that no speakers exist currently, but the language still serves as a symbol of ethnic identity. Fortunately, many of the tribes in Washington have undertaken efforts to revive and relearn their traditional language, some of whom have gone so far as to create online resources, school curricula, and immersion classes in order to resurrect the languages spoken by their ancestors. Many of the audio clips you'll hear on this podcast have been culled from those online resources. It's also important to note that all of these levels of language classification were created by non-Indigenous linguists, and some Native speakers have balked at the idea of trying to draw clear lines between one dialect and another. Something to consider. So let's move right to left and start looking at the native place names we find in eastern Washington, beginning with Colville. Now, it's worth noting that the name Colville isn't itself indigenous in origin, but that it is the name of the area's indigenous tribe. The name Colville comes from Fort Colville, which was named after the Hudson's Bay Company's Andrew Colville. According to historykeen.com, early French traders called the area's indigenous peoples
les Chaudières,
which translates to the Boilers, which is another name for a kettle, referring to the tribe occupying nearby Kettle Falls. And again, we Washingtonians pronounce it Colville, not Colville. The Confederated Tribes of the Colville Reservation, on the other hand, have vastly different names for themselves, as one would expect. Fortunately for us, their history and archaeology department put together an absolutely fantastic story map website detailing their history, including tribal name pronunciations. Constituent tribes of the Colville Confederated Tribes live within what anthropologists call the Plateau Culture Area, based on similarities in language and culture among the tribes of this region. They consist of the Lakes, Colville, Okanagan, Moses Columbia, Wenatchee, Entiat, Chelan, Methow, Nespelem, Sanpoil, Chief Joseph Band of the Nez Perce, and Palouse tribes. Let's begin with the Colville tribe, which had some of the earliest consistent interaction with European Americans in the Northwest. David Thompson's expedition met with the Colvilles in 1811. Now, that's only 6 years after the Lewis and Clark expedition. Now, of course, they didn't call themselves Colvilles at the time. They pronounced their names like this.
Squeeze.
The name refers to sharp-pointed trees, and their diet depended mostly on fish, the majority of which was caught at Kettle Falls. It was said that salmon were once so plentiful there that a man could walk across the river on the backs of the salmon. In 1825, the Hudson's Bay Company established Fort Colville near Kettle Falls as a fur trading post, and the fort's name was later incorporated by the tribe. Moving on to the Methow, named for blunt hills around a low valley, Washingtonians pronounce the city and valley as Methow, not Methow, even though it's spelled M-E-T-H-O-W. The tribe, however, pronounces their name as follows.
Methu.
The Chelan people, whose name means people of the deep water, pronounced their name thusly.
Chelamhu.
Their homeland centers around the shoreline of Lake Chelan and down to the Chelan River to the Columbia River. At the time of the arrival of the European Americans, the tribe had several permanent villages with populations of over 100 people. The Wenatchee people, whose name means people in between, originally lived west of the Columbia River in the Wenatchee River Valley. Their villages were positioned along the Wenatchee River, up past the present location of Leavenworth. A large village at the mouth of Icicle Creek housed at least 200 throughout the summer, but this population soared to several thousand at the peak of salmon fishing season. We call the area Wenatchee, with two E's when referring to geographical locations, and with an I when referring to the tribe. Their people say it this way.
Simpasquausuch.
The nearby Entiat people, named for grass in the water, lived mainly along the banks of the Entiat River, at the confluence with the Columbia River. They pronounced their name as follows.
Entiat.
The traditional territories of the Moses Columbia tribe, named after a prominent chief, Chief Moses, consist of approximately 4.3 million acres. Now, this area is roughly bordered on the north and the west by the Columbia River, extending south to the Potholes area and east towards Ritzville. Their traditional name, which translates to people living on the bank, sounds like this.
Squachnich.
Now, up in north-central Washington is Okanagan country, named for the Okanagan people. The word translates to seeing over the top and is pronounced thusly.
Okanagan.
A somewhat lesser-known people in Washington are the Sanpoil, whose territories centered around the Sanpoil River Valley and today's Lake Roosevelt Recreation Area. They historically had villages along the Columbia River from the Hell's Canyon area in the west to Rogers Bar in the east. Sanpoil, in their native tongue, is said like this.
Sinpawil.
The traditional territories of the Nespilim people, which is derived from their word for prairie, center on the Nespilim and Columbia Rivers. The largest of the Nespilim villages was located on the lower Nespilim River, extending from Nespilim Falls to the river's mouth. Here in Washington, non-natives pronounce it Nespilim. But their people say it like this.
Nespilim.
Finally, and I don't have an audio clip to play for this one, let's consider the Palouse tribe, again, some of whom are part of the Confederated Tribes of the Colville Reservation. Many a Washingtonian know that the expanse of rolling hills with wheat waving in the breeze in the southeastern part of the state is known as the Palouse, which looks to outsiders like Palouse because it's spelled P-A-L-O-U-S-E. But it is named after the tribe that traditionally occupied those hills, known as the Paluspam, today shortened to Palouse, spelled P-A-L-U-S. The Paluspam were strong warriors who fought bravely against European-American encroachment. And while Palouse Chief Colotus is a signatory to the 1855 treaty with the Yakima, most Palouse refused to move to the Yakima Indian Reservation. Pressures from European-American settlement eventually scattered Palouse families, however, and many eventually moved to the Colville Indian Reservation. Some, however, banded with the Yakima Nation, which we'll cover in a few minutes. The Kalispell tribe, with a smaller reservation near Cusick in northeastern Washington, are also an interior Salish-speaking people. They have a vibrant language program created by partnering with the Spokane tribe, so most, if not all of the pronunciations you hear, courtesy of the Spokanes, also applies to the Kalispells. You can learn more about that tribe at kalispelltribe.com. That's K-A-L-I-S-P-E-L tribe.com. Speaking of the Spokane tribe, let's take a look at some of the places in Washington that stem from their branch of the Salish language family tree. The Spokane tribe of Indians' ancestors inhabited much of northeastern Washington, which consisted of approximately 3 million acres. The Spokanes are a river people who traditionally lived in a semi-nomadic way of life, hunting, fishing, and gathering. The second largest city in Washington state is named after the tribe, which pronounces the city as follows. Today, the Spokane tribe of Indians' primary governmental operations are located in Wellpinit, Washington. However, they pronounce it in their language as
Schetzue.
Speaking of the Spokanes, there are three bands of that tribe known as the Upper, Middle, and Lower Spokanes based on where they lived geographically, and they all had different names for themselves. The upper band is known as
Sintuktuliuk.
The middle band is known as
Sinhormene.
And the lower band is known as
Tkesithni.
Fast fact, in Riverfront Park in downtown Spokane is an island that once served as the site of the Canadian Pavilion during the 1974 Expo World's Fair. It's gone by many names over the years. Cannon Island, named after an early Euro-American settler. Crystal Island, named after the laundry company whose facility occupied the island for half of the 20th century. And Canada Island, since 1974. But the island was once again renamed recently to reflect its Native American origins as a middle island between the larger Havermail Island and the north bank of the Spokane River. The name of that island was officially given by the Spokane Parks Board in 2017, and that name is Sinhormene.
Sinhormene.
The name that the Middle Spokanes called themselves. Now, interestingly, some of the place names here in Washington have different names depending on which tribe you're asking. For example, we heard the Colville tribe's name for Okanagan.
Okanagan.
But the Spokane's name for Okanagan is
S'uchnak'ini.
And the Colville's name for themselves, as you'll recall, is
Squeeze.
But the Spokane tribe refers to the Colvilles as
Squeal-Petk.
The Spokanes also have a word for Washington's largest south-central city, known to us as Yakima.
Yakme.
And speaking of Yakima, let's move now to the central part of the state and the confederated tribes and bands of the Yakima Nation. Prior to 1855, the Yakima Nation says its traditional lands comprised about 13 million acres, or roughly the central third of what makes up Washington State. Tribal elders have said that their distance of travel sometimes took them as far north as Canada and as far south as California. The 1.1 million acre reservation that is today home to the Yakima was granted in a treaty signed in 1855 by Washington's first territorial governor, Isaac Stevens, and co-signed by representatives of the Cayuse, Umatilla, Walla Walla, Nez Perce, and Yakima tribes. But although the treaty called for a period of 2 years to allow the various tribes to migrate to and resettle on their new reservation, Governor Stevens declared Indian lands open for non-native settlement less than a month after the ink was dry on the treaty. A Yakima chief, Kamayakin, called upon the tribes to build up their strength to forcefully oppose this declaration, but things moved too quickly, and a subsequent series of raids, counter-raids, and reciprocal atrocities led to what is now known as the Yakima War. And I'll have a whole podcast episode about that at a later date. So remember when we talked about the Salishan language family and how it branched into the interior Salish dialects and the coast Salish dialects? Well, the Yakima traditional language is Ichishkin, part of the mistakenly named Sahaptin language family, a dialect of which, called Chishkin, is also spoken by the Warm Springs and Umatilla tribes. It's also related to the Nez Perce language. In fact, the name Sahaptin is a Salish word that comes from the Columbia Moses Salish term for the Nez Perce, which is why the Confederated Yakima tribes prefer to use their indigenous name for their own language, Ichishkin, and not Sahaptin. Confused? Well, don't worry. There's a lot to digest here. There are many dialects and variations under Yakima Ichishkin stemming from the tribes, bands, and families that comprise the Confederated Tribes and Bands of the Yakima Nation. In fact, the word Toppenish, a fun little city in central Washington, is actually a term the Yakima historically applied to themselves, and it meant people from the foot of the hills. In the mid-1990s, however, the Yakima Nation, then spelled Y-A-K-I-M-A, renamed itself to Yakima, Y-A-K-A-M-A, to more closely reflect the proper pronunciation in their native tongue. Some of the tribes and bands that speak a version of the Sahaptin language family include those whose names are now also places in Washington State, such as Klickitat, Wanapum, Walla Walla, and Palouse. Remember, some of the Palouse tribe integrated with the Colvilles, but others migrated west and became part of the Confederated Yakima tribes. Washington residents will know that many of the city names along I-82 between Yakima and the Tri-Cities have traditional tribal names. Let's run down the list, beginning with Tiatin. According to the Washington Trust for Historic Preservation, the city is named after the Tiatin River, a tributary of the Yakima. Two Native American names apply to the Tiatin River. East of the Cascades, the common name in use was Shanwapum, meaning milky water due to the glacial runoff. The present name is a corruption of Tiatnapum, which relates to a tribe in Cowlitz River Valley on the west slope of the Cascades, who spoke the Yakima language and were affiliated with the Natchez tribe. Speaking of the Natchez, spelled N-A-C-H-E-S, but pronounced with a cheese at the end, the town also gets its name from the Natchez River, another Yakima tributary. Again, the Washington Trust says the name is a combination of the indigenous words naw, meaning rough or turbulent, and cheese, meaning water, to describe the river. The nearby town of Cowichi is said to be a native word meaning footbridge between the valley and the mountains, and it's spelled C-O-W-I-C-H-E-E. North of Yakima is Sela, spelled S-E-L-A-H, which the Trust says is a Native American name meaning still or smooth water. It was given by the Yakima people to about 1.5 miles of the Yakima River, where it emerges from Kittitas Canyon, and early settlers extended the name to the town and a creek and a valley. Further down 82, just south of Union Gap, is a region spelled A-H-T-A-N-U-M, and is pronounced Autonom. Located on the edge of the Yakima Indian Reservation and the Autonom Creek, the hills of Autonom Ridge justify the Indian word, meaning creek by the long mountain. To the north is the town of Moxie, M-O-X-E-E, which was settled by Mortimer Thorpe and a number of French-Canadian farmers in 1867. The Native American name, which was Moxie, translates to smoke on the water, and refers to a spring on Thorpe's ranch which emitted vapor even in the coldest of weather, which never froze. One-third of the Tri-Cities is a city named Kennewick, spelled K-E-N-N-E-W-I-C-K. This compact little city in the middle of fertile lands and orchards is named with an Indian word that translates to grassy place, winter paradise, and dried acorns. Again, that's according to the Washington Trust for Historic Preservation. Moving north, let's take a look at some of the native names there before we jump across to the wet side of the Cascades. Most of these are interior Salish in origin, not Ichishkin or Sahaptin. There's a small town named Washtukna, whose name is taken from a native word said to mean many waters, and was given by the Palouse people to a large spring on the town site. Local tradition states that the town and the valley were named for a Chief Washtukna, though that is unverified. The town of Kahlotus, K-A-H-L-O-T-U-S, was first called Hartersburg, but the post office department objected to the length of that name, so it was later changed to its Native American name, which is said to either mean hole in the ground, referring to a nearby deep spring, or coyote water, which relates to a Native American legend connected to the springs. The small city of Mattawa is a Grant County farming community of about 4,500 people. According to the city's website, it takes its name from an Indian word meaning, "Where is it?" Allegedly because the site of the town is not visible from the highway. I have no idea how accurate that might be. Farther north near Wenatchee is the town of Peshastin, spelled P-E-S-H-A-S-T-I-N, Peshastin. This small town developed in 1892 with the arrival of the Great Northern Railroad and the introduction of irrigation, but its name is an indigenous word meaning broad-bottomed canyon, according to the Washington Trust. There's a community named Chillowist in the area, C-H-I-L-L-O-W-I-S-T, which was named after an early Native American resident known as Charlie Chillowist, with an I, who lived at the mouth of the creek that now bears his name. The town of Entiat on the Columbia River, spelled E-N-T-I-A-T, was the homeland of the Entiatqua people, one of the smallest tribes of several Salish-speaking groups that dwelled along the course of the Columbia River. The tribe's name, and therefore the city's name, has been translated as both rapid water and place of grassy water, although the first translation is most widely accepted. When the town of Epley was platted in 1907, the post office changed the name to Omak, O-M-A-K. The name comes from the Salishan word omachi, meaning good, medicine, or plenty, which was given to a nearby creek and lake. This was altered to Omak at the suggestion of postal authorities who preferred brevity to historical accuracy. Various explanations have been given as to the meaning of the place name Konkanelli, spelled C-O-N, C-O-N-U-L-L-Y, and looks like Conconnelly, but is pronounced by Washingtonians as Conconnelly. According to Washington State Parks, there's some consensus that it is an interior Salish language word meaning money hole. Historian Edmund S. Meany wrote that the indigenous hunter, quote, could get a beaver there any day and use it as money at the Hudson's Bay Company's Fort Okanagan, because the basin now occupied by the government reservoir was great beaver ground, and beaver skins meant money at the old trading post. The town of Twisp's name comes from an Okanagan word meaning wasp, hornet, or yellow jacket, or possibly even the buzzing sound that its wings make. The town of Tonasket, T-O-N-A-S-K-E-T, was named for Chief Joseph Tonasket of the Okanagan people, who lived from approximately 1822 to 1891. Besides ranching, Tonasket had a small general store that carried considerable stocks of goods, and on the benchland above the river and across from the mouth of Curlew Creek, he also maintained a mile-long racetrack. He also traveled to Washington, D.C. to lobby for farming equipment for the area, and the inscription on his headstone reads, quote, he proved himself a strong and able leader, and although he was not an inherited chieftain chief, he was officially recognized as chief of the Okanagan Indians in about the year 1858. His whole life was a series of accomplishments for his people. You know what the music means. Time for today's trivia questions about what we've learned so far in this podcast. 5 multiple choice questions means 20 possible answers. Let's see if you've been paying attention. Question 1. There are 574 federally recognized Indian tribes in the United States. How many of them have ancestral lands here within the Washington state borders? Your answers are A, 19, B, 29, C, 39, or D, none. Am I tricking you? We'll have to see. Though the last so-called Indian boarding school in North America officially closed in the early 2000s, what period is generally thought of as being the primary era for Indian boarding schools in the United States? You'll remember we talked about this at the beginning. Your possible answers to question 2 are A, 1800s to 1900s, B, 1820s to the 1940s, C, 1860s to the 1970s, or D, 1880s to the 1990s. Question 3. What are the 2 largest language indigenous families in Washington state? Your answers are A, Sahaptin and Ichishkin, B, Salishan and Ichishkin, C, Ichishkin and Chinookan, or D, Salishan and Sahaptin. Question 4. What word is used to describe several smaller tribes that have banded together to achieve federal recognition? Your potential answers are A, confederated, B, consolidated, C, convenerated, or D, convalidated. And lastly, the island in the Spokane River, formerly known as Cannon, Crystal, and Canada, was recently renamed by the Parks Board. What is its name today? Your answers are A, Sanpoil, B, Senhuamene, C, Spokanagan, that's clever, or D, Chinookan. Those are today's trivia questions. Be sure to listen to the end of the episode to get the answers. Time now to jump across the mountains and look at the coast Salishan-speaking tribes and bands. And there's a lot of them, so I won't be spending as much time diving into the history of each. In fact, go to the website washingtontribes.org to see a map where each of Washington's federally recognized tribes are located. You'll see that there's only 4 east of the Cascades, with the other 25 residing on the western side. All of those bands, tribes, and nations speak a version of the Coast Salish dialect. Again, with the exception of the Macaw people, who we will get into in a bit. Moving from top to bottom, let's start with the Nooksack, a tribe of approximately 2,000 members located in the northwest corner of Washington. Their name translates to always bracken fern roots, which reflects their close ties to the resources that strengthen their people. The Nooksack language is called Schlutchlussum, and there are several well-known places in the area that are named from Nooksack words. 2 of those are Chuckanut Creek and Chuckanut Bay, or, as it's pronounced in Schlutchlussum,
Chuckanut.
One of the more pristine areas of North Cascades is Mount Shuskan, a Nooksack word meaning high foot, or perhaps golden eagle. Its true pronunciation is as follows.
Chuskan.
One of the most prominent geographical features in the northwestern Washington area is Mount Baker, named after British explorer George Vancouver's third lieutenant, Joseph Baker, who first spotted the mountain on April 30th, 1792. The Nooksacks, on the other hand, who had been there for centuries, had their own name for it, including this one,
Kwaksmani,
which means White Mountain. But the more common indigenous name is
Kulshan,
which means shooting place, possibly referring to the high open slopes of Mount Baker. Now, I got all these audio clips from a website called NooksackPlaceNames.com, which actually shut down years ago, and I had to go into the Internet Archive, known as the Wayback Machine, to access these audio files. The book associated with the website, however, is still in print from the University of Chicago Press. It's called Nooksack Place Names, Geography, Culture, and Language by Alan Richardson and Brent Galloway, and it's about $30 online. The Nooksack's neighbors to the south are the Upper Skagit tribe, who have their own word for Mount Baker.
Tacoba.
Remember, these northwestern Coast Salish tribes have 2 distinct language groups. Straits Salish, spoken by the Clallam, Lummi, Samish, and Semiahmoo tribes, and Lushootseed, spoken by the Tulalip tribes, Lummi, Swinomish, and Upper Skagit. The Upper Skagit people, original signatories of the Treaty of Point Elliot, are descended from a tribe with 11 separate villages on the Upper Skagit and Sauk rivers. Their ancestors even consolidated, but a separate reservation for them was not established until 1981, so some of their people integrated with neighboring tribal communities, primarily the coastal Swinomish. And speaking of the Swinomish, it's interesting to note that the other Western Washington tribes, whose names end with M-I-S-H, all put their emphasis on the middle syllable in their pronunciation. Snohomish, Skykomish, Duwamish, Suquamish, and so forth. But the Swinomish don't follow suit. They emphasize the first syllable of their tribal name. I have no idea why that's different. If anyone listening happens to know the answer, I'd love to hear from you. Shoot me an email at eric@washingtonourhome.com. That's E-R-I-C-H at washingtonourhome.com. The Swinomish speak a sub-dialect of the northern dialect of the Lushootseed language. Today's Dugulala Bay is named after the Anglicization of one of the Swinomish people's original villages. Moving slightly south to the area around Anacortes, you'll find the Samish Indian Nation. And note that it's pronounced Sam-ish, not same-ish, even though it is only one letter different from sail-ish. The Samish Indian Nation is the successor to the large and powerful Samish tribe, a signatory to the Treaty of Point Elliot in 1855. Linguistically and culturally, Samish are part of the Coast Salish-speaking, a dialect known as Straits Salish, rather than a Lushootseed dialect like their neighbors to the east. The Samish maintain a website that helps identify current locations in Washington by their traditional Straits Salish names. For example, Güemes Island was known to the Samish as
Quangala,
which translates to lots of dogs on account of the large number of woolly dogs living on the island. One of the most picturesque areas of the state is Deception Pass, named by Captain George Vancouver of England when he explored the area in the late 1700s. Vancouver believed the pass was the mouth of a river until his lieutenant sailed around the land to the south, discovering that the adjacent land was actually an island. Having been deceived by the narrow waterway, Vancouver named it Deception Pass. Up until that point, the area had a different name that meant gateway to the inland.
Huchsongus.
Now, Iceberg Point on Lopez Island offers majestic views of rugged bluffs and rocky shorelines, as well as miles of hiking trails to view wildflowers, waterfowl, and marine mammals. You can also find the Treaty of 1908 marker at Iceberg Point, one of those hidden history gems I wrote about in my book, Exploring Maritime Washington. But this area of the island, known to Lopezians as Iceberg Point, was referenced by the Samish people as
Sutlach.
In fact, Lopez Island itself, one of a dozen or so places named by Spanish explorers for the Viceroy of Mexico, Juan Vicente de Güemes Padilla Horcasitas y Aguayo, of course, had an indigenous name first, which meant bottom of reef netting.
Squalach.
Now, I mentioned the word Lummi a few minutes ago. The Lummi Nation is another Straits Salish-speaking people from the coast just west of Bellingham. The Lummi Nation is the third largest tribe in Washington, with more than 5,000 members and a 13,000-acre reservation. They, too, had different names for the places we know in Washington today. Orcas Island, for example, a shortened version of Horcasitas and not named after the marine mammal, was known to the Lummi as
Squalach,
which meant scattered reef netting. Orcas Island is mountainous and heavily forested and contains the highest point of land in all of the San Juan Island archipelago. Mount Constitution, as it's known to us, was called this by the Straits Salish tribes.
Squalach.
And, of course, the largest island and the archipelago's namesake, San Juan Island, has an indigenous name.
Tlacomush.
In early historic times, the indigenous people of the San Juan Islands and nearby mainland areas were primarily members of six Central Coast Salish tribes who spoke the Northern Straits language. Those tribes were Sook, Saanich, Songhi, Lummi, Samish, and Semiamu. In fact, near the Canadian border today is a community known as Semiamu. That's spelled Semiamoo, which is named after the small Indian band that occupied the area. A 1790 estimate placed their number at approximately 300. There are different interpretations as to what the word Semiamu means, one being a word for half moon, describing the shape of the bay, and the other being a word for water all around, or possibly hole in the sky. Either way, it's important to remember that the name Semiamu is the anglicization of the name self-applied by these people. And lastly, before we move on, you may have noted that all of the tribes we've been talking about are located in and around Whatcom County, Washington, within which you'll also find Lake Whatcom, Whatcom Creek, and Whatcom Falls. Well, the name Whatcom is actually the anglicization of the Straits Salish word meaning sound of water splashing or dripping fast and hard. It is correctly pronounced
Whatcom.
Oh, and one more thing. Remember Chuckanut Bay and how it was pronounced by the Nooksacks in Schletchelusum?
Chuckanut.
Here's the Straits Salish way to pronounce the same word.
Chuckanut.
Interesting distinction, isn't it? Time to answer today's trivia questions. There are 574 federally recognized Indian tribes in the United States. Question one was, how many of them have ancestral lands here within the Washington state borders? Your possible answers were A, 19, B, 29, C, 39, or D, none. It wasn't a trick question. The answer is B, 29. Washington State is home to 29 federally recognized Indian tribes, each with their own tribal governments making investments and charitable contributions to help improve people's lives, both Indian and non-Indian alike. For more information on these tribes, please go and visit washingtontribes.org. Question 2. Though the last so-called Indian boarding school in North America officially closed in the early 2000s, what period is generally thought of as being the primary era for Indian boarding schools in the United States? Possible answers were A, 1800s to 1900s, B, 1820s to the 1940s, C, 1860s to the 1970s, or D, 1880s to the 1990s. Well, according to the IndigenousFoundation.org, Native American assimilation began when Congress passed the Civilization Fund Act in 1819, which encouraged American education to be provided to indigenous societies and therefore enforced the quote-unquote civilization process. The passing of this act eventually led to the creation of the federally funded Native American boarding schools and initiated the beginning of the Indian boarding school era. The duration of this era ran from 1860 until 1978. So the correct answer is C. Approximately 357 boarding schools, by the way, operated across 30 states during this era, both on and off reservations, and housed over 60,000 Native children. Question 3. What are the two largest language families in Washington State for indigenous peoples? Your answers were Sahaptin and Ichishkin, Salishan and Ichishkin, Ichishkin and Chinookan, or Salishan and Sahaptin. Remember, the Salishan language family contains both the interior Salish dialects and the coast Salish dialects, making it the most commonly used language family in Washington. But in central Washington, the indigenous peoples use languages from the Sahaptin language family. But Sahaptin is actually a Salish word, which is why the Confederated Yakima tribes prefer to use their indigenous name for their own language, Ichishkin, and not Sahaptin. So the answer is B, Salishan and Ichishkin. I'll give you partial credit if you said D, Salishan and Sahaptin, because I know it can be confusing. Question 4. What word is used to describe several smaller tribes that have banded together to achieve federal recognition? Possible answers were A, confederated, B, consolidated, C, convenerated, and D, convalidated. The answer is A, confederated, as in the Confederated Tribes of the Colville Reservation, which include the Chelan, Chief Joseph Band of the Nez Perce, Colville, Entiat, Lakes, Methow, Moses Columbia, Nespelum, Okanagan, Palouse, Sanpoil, Wenatchee. Also, the Confederated Tribes and Bands of the Yakima Nation, which include the, and I'm sorry if I mispronounce these, Kamiltpa, Klickitat, Klingquit, Kawaseyi, Liewas, Ochechotes, Palouse, Pisquos, Siapcat, Shayix, Skinpa, Wenatchapam, Wishram, and Yakima. Lastly, question 5. The island in the Spokane River, formerly known as Cannon, Crystal, and Canada, was recently renamed by the Parks Board. What is its name today? And your answers were Sanpoil, Senhuamene, Spokanagan, Chinookan. The answer, of course, is B, Senhuamene. Well, that's it for today's episode. We've covered 9 of the 29 federally recognized tribes that have ancestral lands in today's Washington state, and we've got a lot more to go. But I'll have to save that for the next episode, Sewa Part 3.5. That's where we'll cover the rest of Western Washington's tribes, the names of places in Washington that have their origin in the various Coast Salish dialects, and why the Macaw tribe at the very tip of Western Washington's Olympic Peninsula isn't included in the Salishan language family. Be sure to visit those websites that I mentioned to learn more about Native American culture here in the greatest state in the lower 48. Please subscribe to the podcast for new episodes and visit patreon.com/WashingtonOurHome to help keep the show going. Follow me on Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube. And until next month, Hisquest Eric Ebel, Nem Helhuichtman in Washington.